Welcome to a new season of Upbeat Podcasts as part of the Braving the Stave series with me, JJ.
And me, Haz.
Now, you're looking very smart, Haz. Where have you just been?
I always look smart, John. Actually, no, last two times I've been in pyjamas, haven't I?
I think you've almost done a onesie
for
one of our podcasts.
Well, I've just come from a choir rehearsal in which I was leading the choir, like not solo singer. I was like basically conducting the choir.
You're full of surprises, Haz.
I know. I'm also full of rubbish because I cannot sing at all. And one of the women at the end, I said, oh, you know, anyone can sing. I've got a terrible voice. And she was like, it's not that terrible. And I'm supposed to be leading the choir. So
that's faint praise.
Yeah. It's for mental health. It's not all about singing beautifully. It's just sitting around a table, having a cup of tea and singing through something.
Well, you look the part. You've even got your glasses perched up on the front of your head there, which is very executive.
Like I know what I'm doing. So what are you doing? Why do you look smart today?
I'm off to a workshop in Poole to work with Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, and we're doing a small ensemble approach to Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, which is a bit scary, but with Indian classical dancers.
Now I see why you've been asked. You're going to be dancing, no doubt.
I shall not be doing any Indian classical dance, sadly, but improvisation will be part of it.
Cool.
I think necessarily. So our terms have got back into full swing already by the sounds of it.
Yeah, massively.
It's a busy October. This podcast, we are going to celebrate all things autumnal. And we'll be looking at a perennial favourite, autumn leaves.
Beautiful.
Very shortly. And looking at other sort of autumn themes before also taking a punning look at the world of concrete music for St. David's Hall is currently under inspection, isn't it?
So we're celebrating St. David's Hall. No words of crumbling or rack or anything like that is going to come up. It's going to be a celebration of all things concrete and music.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just a formality.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we're going to take it in our stride because...
Well, even though I don't like the thought of concrete with air in, but I'm sure there's a very good physical reason for that.
I can't think of any right now, but you know that we're not builders, we're not engineers. We're here to celebrate the music, to look at autumnal tropes. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're going to be doing, plus a look ahead to the season, autumn-winter season in St. David's Hall right at the end. Let's start with autumnal themes. So what do you think of when you think of autumn?
Well, I don't think necessarily what I think of autumn matches up with the music, because I think of like crunchy leaves, it getting a bit colder outside. I also think, you know, further forward getting a bit spooky. But when I think about autumnal music, I usually think about nice warm sounds, red and gold colours, things like that.
Warm and bright. If you think of the Vivaldi seasons, it starts with a sort of the crisp air of an autumnal hunt, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think of cocoa, even though I don't drink cocoa, and fingerless gloves and cardigans and all these kind of things. But you're right, I think the overall hue is maybe sort of deep orange, and it's about that warmth of colour, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, should we just dive into a treasure swap right here, right now?
Straight away, let's do it.
My treasure that I'd like to swap with you is a version of Autumn Leaves, the perennial jazz classic that has had so many versions and covers done of it. I've chosen the Yehudi Menuhin and Stefan Grappelli cover. Have you come across them playing together on recordings?
Once, because you told me to. Sorry, not told me. You suggested.
You must listen to this duo. Yes. Oh, okay. So what did you think?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yes, I do really like it. I like, if you've got something original, keep it as the original. I'm not purist, but I don't tend to go on deep dives with different versions of music, apart from ones that you send me. Was it the Spartacus theme?
Yes.
That was one off that I was
with
like,
Bill Evans on the piano.
Usually I go back to the original, but I'm interested to hear this because you did say that you were going to do this, but I was like, oh, I'll save it.
So just a little bit of background. They actually did 8 albums together, apparently. I didn't realise. I thought it was just Jealousy. That's the one that I knew about.
Oh, but I didn't know. Yeah.
They met first on Parkinson's show, Parky, rest in peace.
Oh, wow.
And he brought them together. he brought so many artists together, didn't he? But this was a particularly blessed partnership because Grappelli was there with his traditional gypsy jazz French style swing, very much in the style of Django Reinhardt, with whom he played. And Yehudi Menuhin was, well, he had to notate his jazz interjections and play them from the score. And you can hear that. It doesn't sound typically jazz-like or spontaneous, but that's the point. You know, they're both coming as masters of their own worlds, and it's about how those worlds come together. And that's what makes for such a beautiful album, really. So this is Autumn Leaves.
I think it still does sound improvised to me.
Does it?
Yeah, I think because I'm so used to hearing Yehudi Menuhin play things, I don't know, like Kreutzer or anything that's really, really technical, but very, very much in time. Even him just stretching something over the bar line a tiny bit, I'm like, ooh, jazz.
It is very free, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that. And I think it's a lovely combination of tones, isn't it, with Grappelli's slightly lighter bow pressure and the typical sort of jazz style and that immensely rich sound that Menuhin had.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that.
So that's my treasure.
So for my version of Autumn Leaves, which is my treasure swap today, I've chosen Chet Baker.
Oh, that's very classy.
Thank you. I was going for the points for this one. No, I do love it as well. So Chet Baker, famous trumpeter and singer. But in this version of Autumn Leaves, it's like a 7-minute version of him just playing the trumpet and his whole band joining in. Paul Desmond, I think, as well.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, beautiful. And even though it's more up-tempo than your treasure, it's still, I think, so laid back and so... I don't know. Yeah, it's almost horizontal.
It's stripped back, I would have thought, because it's just a jazz quartet, right?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And I like that, just the simple... No, it feels rude if I say simpleness, but just the bare bones or just what you need. No trills and fills. And I don't mean that in disrespect to the Yehudi Menuhin and Grappelli one.
That was quite the arrangement, though, wasn't it? Somebody really went to town on all the orchestra parts and had great fun. But it'd be great to hear it in its stripped back form. Thank you. so fluid, isn't he?
Yeah, very. And I also love how he just gets to the point straight away and it's like, here is the tune. Like, there's no preamble. Yeah.
Thing is, it's a shame he wasn't singing as well, really, because he had that beautifully chilled vocal tone, didn't he? And so androgynous. People thought he was a woman, I think, initially, when he first came out.
Yeah.
And, it's inimitable, really. Well, thank you for that. And that's got us into the autumnal spirit, I do believe. Can we just go down a less trodden autumnal path?
Please.
I thought we could perhaps listen to some Ligeti. And this is...
Why? Why?
You'll love this.
No, I won't.
You will, I promise. Open mind, Haz. Open mind.
Open mind, open heart. Let's do it.
So this is Warsaw Autumn. And Warsaw Autumn actually is the name of a contemporary concert. Yeah, I'm not selling this.
No.
Am I? In Poland, obviously.
Okay.
But it also covers the autumnal theme of just falling and everything coming to sort of a natural close. So he's got this, what he calls a lamentoso line, that just falls down, this plaintive line that falls down. Now, this is a tribute to Nan Caro, another contemporary composer, who played around with different... Haz is looking at me as if to say, go on then, sell it to me. I think what's beautiful, and you will be able to hear this and appreciate this, there are four different timelines happening at the same time, and Nan Caro played around with the concepts of the passing of time, as did Ligeti here. And it's everything is descending. It's a piece for piano. It's one of his 18 studies, etude, that he wrote in homage partly to the greats of the past, going right the way back to Scarlatti, through Chopin, Debussy in particular, Scriabin. And this, as I say, is a more contemporary reflection. See what you think.
You just said to me, that's really actually very technical to do. And I was like, yeah, I know. It sounds it. How do you know if you got the notes right?
Well, that's Yuja Wang for a start. So we can be pretty sure that she's got it spot on.
Grand. Do you know what it sounds like? It sounds like I'd love to listen to that curled up with a good book and a hot chocolate. Just no, it doesn't. It sounds like all the leaves have fallen forever. We haven't had a tree with leaves on in the last 35 years.
Is it possible, though, to listen to that kind of music without that sort of horror overlay, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe that's just because I grew up, if I heard that sort of music, it's in a horror film. It's not like my parents never put on the Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat mixtape, then followed by Ligeti. Do you know what I mean? Ah, this is the falling passage of time, Angharad. Ah, thank you, ma'am.
I think we need to emancipate the ear. That's the thing. And from those connections, right? Because I think you're right. I mean, that is the natural go-to. When you hear slightly dissonant and chromatic falling lines, you're going to think somebody's about to die.
Yeah.
In a gruesome way. However, I think it's also possible just to listen to the sheer beauty and the craft of what's happening with those four different tumbling lines, and here are the shimmer of the sound in, you know, that carries on throughout. I just think texturally, it's a masterpiece.
It is. I know I'm being a dick. It is. Can I say that?
I think we
okay,
can.
Okay, fine. I'm being naughty, but I think not everything has to be twee and beautiful and gorgeous. Otherwise, it would just be awful all the time, be like living in a music box. But sometimes I hear that, like when it started playing, I was like, oh, I'm surprised to hear it has a key. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Maybe.
Well, funny you should mention things like, does it have a key or not? Because we're going to go even further into the world
Lord.
of experimentalism now. So brace yourselves, everybody. Okay. We're going to just have a little listen, punningly, as I said, to the world of musique concrète, so concrete music. Do you know anything about this?
I feel like you have me on. There is no such thing. You're just setting me up for
a... It's a thing.
Is it?
Yes. From the 40s, it's a modernist approach to creating sounds using...
Concrete.
Actually not concrete, okay. But things that sort of exist in the concrete world rather than the abstract one. So it's about sampling back then on tape recorders, various different sounds, and then manipulating them into interesting collages. So you could just take three notes on a honky-tonk piano and create a half an hour piece out of it by reversing the sounds or doing weird combinations or different speeds. In fact, the first musique concrète piece, we think, was by a guy called Pierre Henry. They were all called Pierre, I think. There's Pierre Schaeffer, there's Pierre Henry. If you were basically French wacky and into tape recorders, that boded well.
Poor little Pierre was like, I want to be an accountant. No, Pierre, you know your name, you know your role. Get to that honky-tonk immediately.
Absolutely, get the recorder out. Yeah. Well, he actually recorded a squeaky door.
No!
literally a squeaky door and a human sigh and made a piece of 31 minutes out of it.
Do you know what? That's about 30 minutes too long, in my opinion. But open mind, open heart.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to share the other Pierre Schaeffer's... first version of musique concrète, which is a combination of railway sounds. And I think the rhythmicity of this and just this industrial world coming together is quite effective. This was from 1948.
Pierre.
You know, on the re-listen, I was a little underwhelmed, I have to say. And I had to join you in a giggle.
Well, it's just, imagine his poor parents. It's like, ah, Pierre, you've returned from music college. What have you got to show the fruits of your labour? Fear not, parents. Here is 72 minutes, I assume, of train sounds.
Thereabouts.
But the thing is, bits of that, I was like, yeah, that is, I can see how that... And I don't know, it reminded me of the phasing and, you know, the... Is it that with John...
Yeah.
Steve Reich.
Steve Reich, yeah. Who sampled, on different trains,
yeah.
The various sounds there and melded it together with this minimalist music world. And, yeah, that works a treat, doesn't it?
It does, but I don't want to get into a huge debate about this, but it makes me think, where is the line then between music and someone just recording things and put it together? Or is there no line? Because anything can be music, anything is art. And
we could say, yeah. I think the traditional argument is that whenever you start organising sounds with an aesthetic purpose, with a listener in mind, then you can call it a piece of art, a piece of music in that sense. But that's quite a loose definition.
That's quite cool, though. You looked really intelligent when you were saying that then, just for the listener.
The thing is, they've got us philosophizing, haven't they? They've provoked us.
They've done it. They've only gone and done it.
Chapeau, Pierre.
Oh, Pierre.
So Here's why I'm excited about Concrete Music. I think excited, you know, relatively speaking. Mm-hmm. It's because it was the precursor to so much more interesting combinations later on, sound collages. And I just want to share something that I know you'll love.
Yeah.
And this is a BBC National Orchestra of Wales recording, aptly enough, for a podcast published by St David's Hall in Wales. It's a recording done in 2016 called the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony for Orchestra and Wild Soundscape, based on Bernie Krause's book, The Great Animal Orchestra. And Bernie Krause is a sound technician who went into the sort of the amazingly rich sonic world of jungles and elsewhere to try and stratify all the sounds he was hearing. And he said, this feels like music, you know, the fact that they're all occupying different strata of the sound spectrum. And then he teamed up with Richard Blackford, a composer, and they came up with this.
I love that.
I thought you would.
Yeah, you've won me over with that. It, for some reason, reminds me of An American in Paris. Is it that one?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, when you've got like the horns and everything like that, and suddenly when you're putting real life into pictures that we recognise as notes and frequencies and like pockets of time that we're like, yes, that makes sense in order for me. It just, it, I don't know, it's like translating wildlife. I love that.
And very cleverly manipulated to get that bird song down to an audible level where human ears can actually appreciate the pitch levels, and then to reflect that in the flute and then the clarinet. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's really cool. I like that. And that would be something I'd want to see live as well, because I suppose you'd be looking at these different players and suddenly, or instruments, and suddenly attributing them to this particular animal. And yeah,
I think it's really effective. So yes, do look out for that on Spotify and elsewhere, the Great Animal Orchestra Symphony. It's beautifully conceived and put together, I think. So that was our little paddle in the world of concrete music. Can you even paddle in concrete music? I don't know.
I don't know.
Possibly not. Tiptoe.
Pierre could.
I think he could. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, you've seen what a rich legacy it has. And I think we should finish perhaps with a look ahead.
Sure, absolutely. At what's coming up in St David's Hall and beyond. So I want to plug something that I'm in.
Why not?
Why not? And only because you said, what's coming up? And I said, oh, well, I'm doing this thing. Then I thought, well, might as well. I'm doing a film concert. Not me, not just me. How boring would that be? One viola on stage. Or
that'd be quite, yes, epically sort of adventurous, yeah, in its way.
How modern of me. It's a tribute to Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings and beyond.
Oh, one of those. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of those around at the
moment. There are. And do you know what? As a lover of film music and someone who is, I don't think I'm very snobby about music. I just love, I don't care if it's popular, because usually that means I love it too. I want more of it. I love seeing all these concerts that absolutely pack out a theatre or an auditorium, because that's how the music was intended to be enjoyed anyway. And as much as it is beautiful having an unknown Polish composer from 1814, it's sometimes nice to have some John Williams. Do you know?
It's always nice to have John Williams.
Yeah. So that one is on the 18th of November, and it's with the London Concert Orchestra, music of Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones and beyond.
That sounds a lot of fun.
I don't know what the beyond is. TBC.
It's very exciting. I'm going to return full circle to our autumnal theme with my top tip for the next few months. And it's coming up on the 29th of October. It's a matinee concert because it's a Sunday, so a 3 p.m. start. I love those.
Me too. Early home.
Early home and time for cocoa and, you know, wrapping up in a cardigan and other autumnal things.
Perfect.
It's the Four Last Songs by Strauss, and it will be the WNO Orchestra performing with Chen Rice. Not a singer I know, but anybody who can do the Four Last Songs has my undying respect.
Absolutely. I've only heard little bits of it. I was listening to this before the podcast, actually, because a friend of mine said it really reminded them of autumn. So I was just had a little listen to it, and I was like, whoa, that's some chops.
You can definitely hear the leaves just slowly circling downwards right from the start. And it's the most languorous sound, particularly at the tempo that we're about to hear, which is with the famous Jesse Norman. And I thought we could see ourselves out with September from the Four Last Songs by Richard Strauss.